Zoning Appeals meeting. I call your attention to application 16-93002, request for a variance to allow for a 5-foot increase over the maximum 50-foot height limit at 235 Richland Avenue West. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board other than what you have provided already?
I've provided them all to you, emailed them to you, and provided hard copies.
Thank you. Presentation.
And this is an application from Neil Shaw on behalf of Shaw Investments, LLC, for variance of 5 feet from the maximum height, building height of 50 feet in the downtown business district for 235 Richland Avenue West. He submitted the property is currently zoned downtown business, maximum allowable height of 50 feet. The area primarily includes commercial uses and is located in the Old Aiken Design Overlay. It has a hotel, which has approximately 28,000 square feet of heated and cooled space, and the lot size is approximately 0.43 acres. It's adjacent on all sides to similarly zoned downtown business. The downtown business district provides for the central commercial and civic functions in the city in a compact area, offering maximum convenience. The proposed addition would exceed the height designed by 5 feet. The existing building exceeds the height by 2 feet 6 inches. The proposed addition would be higher than the existing building by an additional 2 feet 6 inches. And this gives you the conceptual elevations of what the proposed addition would look like, outline of the floor space, and this gives you an idea of the elevations. One of the things in talking with the architect on this particular project was getting floor, and he can address this better than I can, with getting floors, window, different elements to line up. Of course, in the hallway, you don't want steps for accessibility reasons and fire reasons, people trip. And of course, if it's a ramp, you have to have it at proper angles and stuff. The currently, it's 52 feet, 6 inches to this peak right here. And they want to go 55 feet to right here. And you see this measured roof here is a flat roof. So that's where it would be measured at. The parapet above that is not included in the building height. Just like if there's a parapet here, that would not be included in the building height. And they do have it measured to 52 and 6 inches here to the peak. And of course, the board is familiar with a peak roof, you really, for height purposes, you go midway up. So this is the height to the peak. If we're measuring the actual building height, it would go halfway up that peak. So it would be a little bit lower than 52 and a half. You know, it might be a foot and a quarter lower. Any questions for Steve?
Could you speak to parking, because adding this addition, or the proposed addition, will add another 40-50 cars?
Yes, the city recently contracted with Beal Engineering to do a parking study downtown, and I believe this just arrived. I believe we just got it last week, but the based on that study from the engineering firm, the in the summary it says The existing conditions data collection was completed on an average Thursday. It also includes special event parking characteristics of the farmer's market held in the alley. Based on future projected demand and current parking trends, the existing parking inventory is expected to be able to fulfill projected short-term future parking needs. However, some blocks do experience localized peak conditions at the lunch hour and during special events. And in a conversation that I overheard with the engineer, those projected parking included this project and the carriage house being completed to capacity, and this one being completed with the additional rooms, and found that there would be adequate parking.
Other questions from the board to the city?
You covered it, but let's just review once again. The current hotel extends from short of B Lane right to Warren Street. Is that correct?
Yes.
And there's hotel rooms upstairs, even though on the street level it looks like the corner of Warren Street is a separate restaurant.
Correct.
And that's all one big building.
Correct.
Okay. And roof height, obviously the current roof, whether it exceeds 50 feet or not, is grandfathered, but that is a gable roof. And as a gable roof, the measurement of the height of the building would be from the street level to a point which is halfway between the
ridge.
Yeah. Okay, so it doesn't go right up to the ridge. It's halfway between the eaves and the ridge.
Yes.
Okay, and the if you look at Exhibit E again, it looks like the architect has stated 52 feet 6 inches up to the ridge.
Yes.
Which would not be the way the ordinance would interpret the building height.
No, so you've probably got another... It's probably a foot and a half less.
Okay, but it's probably over 50 feet, but it's certainly not 52 feet, 6 inches. But the city didn't measure the height.
Correct.
So we're using the architect's numbers.
Yes. It's a, like the discussion we had earlier.
Yeah.
It's a, just that as a surveyor, I'm going to take this plat or an engineer or a licensed architect. When he submits this to us, he's got his license on the lot.
Okay.
Unless I've got a reason to question those numbers, I usually don't.
Okay. Now, the addition to this building would be extend from the east side of the current hotel to Bell Lane. Is that correct?
B Lane.
And that's going to have a flat roof.
Yes, sir.
Now, the height would be determined from the ground level to the flat roof, even though there's projections above that flat roof?
Correct.
And that's what you call the para?
Para.
Okay. And that would be strictly decorative?
Yes. Well, yes and no. It'll also be probably there architecturally. The design review board would probably, basically your... screen all the mechanical equipment that would be on that rooftop that may be seen from the street.
Even though they might not be visible in most cases from the street, things like the HVAC unit and things like that.
Yes.
Okay. I'll reserve the rest of my questions for the architect.
You mentioned the carriage house inn.
Yes, ma'am.
I have missed 2 meetings so far this year, but they did not apply for any type of a...
They did not come to this board for anything, but that is another project impacting the parking downtown, adding rooms to downtown. To take that into consideration as well.
Did they go to a design review, do you know, carriage house?
They had talked to the design review board in the preliminary work session. With any by their bylaws, any variances that needs to be obtained are obtained before the design review board will hear the application. So if it's approved here, the next step would be the design review board. And they would have to approve whatever design that is.
In the existing building, you said roof building height is determined from street level to halfway up the apex of the roof there that you show projected up. Is that right?
Yes.
From the photograph that has been submitted with this application, it appears that the existing building also has a parapet wall around it, or around the roof.
Yes.
Okay, so that parapet wall, we don't know how high that is, but that then is considered part of the building height.
No.
If it's a flat roof, the building height stops where the roof is. And if the wall, the parapet wall goes above that, that's not included as part of the building height.
Okay.
So if this is, if there's nothing behind that, get to it. If there wasn't anything behind that parapet wall, then the building height would stop right in this area.
Yep.
But if there is, if that roof line goes on up, then it could go to here, depending on where it is on the inside.
But the existing building height, mm-hmm. by definition,
right.
then is from the street level to that small apex projection there. It
right
doesn't.
In there. Yeah. Right in there.
Up to the top of that little window?
Up into the top of the parapet wall, then, is what you're
actually,
pointing at.
The top of the parapet wall is about there. Yes, sir. That would be about halfway across that apex.
And how tall is that? How tall is that little apex thing? That
one's 52 feet, 6 inches to the top right here.
No, but
the gable. It's halfway between the eaves and the gable, or the ridge and the eaves.
To the ridge is 52 feet, 6 inches. I'm not for sure how the distance between the ridge and the parapet wall. You're probably talking a foot and a half, 2 feet.
But in the case of the existing building, then, the building height mm-hmm. would include that parapet wall.
Yes.
In the new building, or the building addition, mm-hmm. the building height does not include the parapet wall. Am I understanding that correctly?
And the reason it would include the parapet wall in this case is because this section right here.
Yeah.
And it hitting that midway. Normally that parapet wall would not count.
Other board questions to the city? Thanks, Jimmy. Mr. Shaw.
If there's enough, I'll take
it. Yeah, actually, there's only two copies.
Okay.
It's the set.
Oh, we need to mark it as an exhibit.
It's probably already an exhibit.
Yeah, it's just a large thing
okay.
to look at.
Thank you.
Enough for now.
Okay, we got this in the package.
Just
the same thing that you have, just a little bigger. Mm-hmm. Same thing as in the first,
yeah.
A little bigger.
We can show.
Good afternoon, Neil Shaw, 141 Commonwealth Way, Aiken, South Carolina, 2903. Also brought my architect to speak on my behalf, Steve Cash.
Would you allow him to read himself into the minutes?
Yes, please. Come on up here, Steve. Good evening. Stephen Finch with the RBA Group.
And where are you located?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you. This is Shaw and you. Did you want to embellish on the staff report, or are you respond to him from questions from the board?
Respond.
Okay. Board questions? Pat?
First question is regarding the parapet wall. How high is that above the roof on the addition?
On the addition, not the existing building?
Yes.
The addition.
Not the existing building, but the addition.
Really, I would leave that up to the next review board to determine on how much of the mechanical equipment they determine that we have to screen. Our goal is to minimize the height of the parapet as much as possible.
Okay.
The other side is some people are going to want us to raise it as high as possible to conceal everything that's on the roof. So I can't honestly...
Okay, the real question is then, what is the height of the flat roof? The elevation of the flat roof off the ground. According to Exhibit E, it looks like you estimate that to be 55 feet even.
That's correct.
So the
post height of the new roof is at 55 feet.
And that's the flat roof?
Correct.
Okay.
What is illustrated in the graphics before you in the renderings is an additional 2.5 foot tall parapet.
Mm-hmm.
To screen the future mechanical units on that new addition.
Well,
what's illustrated is roughly 2.5 feet.
To scale, it looks like it's more than that, but I'll trust you.
If you'll notice, there's a cantilevered portion to that. I'm not sure how to...
You can use the pencil.
If you'll notice on this graphic on the far left side, that parapet is illustrated as cantilevering out slightly, so that gives it the illusion of being a little taller than it is. On the very far left, you'll see how it's angled back. That gives it the illusion of being taller than it is. That's more for a shadow line and to help distinguish between the new and existing. But what is represented there is approximately 2.5 foot tall parapet above the 55-foot height roof.
Okay, well, obviously the design review board will have to talk about that if we approve the variance, but I don't know if that does the case, if that improves the case or not by having that cantilever effect show make it look even higher. Real question is, how do you integrate the additional 5 stories? Are they going to intersect with the other with the first 3 floors of the building at every level?
The first 3 levels are integrated directly with the existing structure, so floor to floor levels will align.
Floor by floor, window by window.
Correct.
Ceiling by ceiling.
The addition of the additional 2 stories obviously cannot, because there's nothing else for them to interface with.
Okay, so the other 2 stories are going to be above, and they wouldn't integrate with the existing.
Right.
The existing building.
Right. They'll have their own stairs and elevators for those floors.
Okay. Floors would match, is what he's asking, and that's what you're saying?
The existing floors will match the new floors, correct.
Okay. But the windows don't match?
They will. They will match.
Okay. I'm looking at your Exhibit C, and look at your 3rd floor. They don't seem to match at all.
Well, they're a different proportion, but the head heights of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd do align. And this photograph and rendering is also taken not straight down to the hotel, but slightly to the side, so there's perspective in there.
Yeah, slightly.
And I don't want to say that the square footage of new windows will match the square footage of existing windows. We haven't determined that yet. But the overall head height of the windows will align with the existing hotel.
So each floor and ceiling would align with the 1st 3 floors. The 1st 3 floors of the addition would align floor to ceiling with the existing building.
Correct.
and the other two floors would be above that.
Correct.
Okay, and that will go up to the existing B lane?
That is correct.
And wrap around the back of the building?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. Okay, the black part is the fifth floor?
That's correct.
Okay, if we didn't have that black part there, then it would be four stories high. What would the height would be? How much would the height be?
Roughly 45, I believe. The black line is not representative of where the floor level is, though. If you'll notice, that black line is directly below, even with the sill height of the window.
Mm-hmm.
So that black line is not representative of where the floor is. It's representative of where the sill is of the window. So keep that in mind. But if the fifth floor were to come off, you're removing approximately 10 feet of building height.
How many rooms? If you left that fifth floor off, you'd lose 10 rooms.
How many rooms on the fifth floor?
10 rooms.
And like on the fourth floor, there's 10 rooms, the third floor?
Two through five are the same. The first floor is open to possibilities of retail and meeting space.
Okay, so we would, if we only did four stories, we'd be adding 30 rooms and retail space. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Why would you not show your rendering as matching with the windows and everything on here? I mean, because it gives us a distorted view.
Because we're not trying to mimic something that's historical and already here. We do want to distinguish it as something new and not try and make everything look like
it. Yeah, but it looks like the windows are like this, though. I mean, I can see where, it's new. It looks, that corner's fine. But the windows are like this. That's why I'm saying, why would you not have tried to keep the windows on the same level?
The windows are the same level for floors 1, 2, and 3. They are a different level for 4 and 5 since those floors don't exist. Again, this is taken out of perspective. Since we see in 3D, we can't look at everything straight on like an elevation. I think that has more to do with the perspective look that this photo was taken. But I will testify to you that the window heights will align for floors 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
All right. Elaborate on your statement, though, regarding you wanted this addition to be new and not necessarily match what the facade is now. Did I understand that right?
It's impossible to recreate history, and as an architect, I know that. So for me to come in here and try and make this look like it's always been there since 1898 would be foolhardy. So we're taking the approach, and again, this is up to the next review board if we make it past this round, of what the aesthetic is. But our goal is to match the floor heights, the massing of the building, window head heights, and you'll notice from this rendering, as you're approaching the hotel, you'll see the rhythm of, we have a gable, a center gable, and then our new addition. We're trying to match that rhythm, match that massing, so the two are cohesive, but I'm not trying to fool anyone in thinking that that building has always been there.
What would it do to, you have the five floors, four have rooms, rooms to lease, rent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something magic about that 40 rooms? Why not going with four floors and 30 rooms?
We've decided that we'd like to consider proposing to put 40 rooms down. That was our proposal.
To do what?
Put 40 rooms.
Are there occupancy rate? I mean, where are you at with your existing old hotel in terms of the need for 40 new rooms?
There's an upside needed for better rooms.
Better rooms or more rooms?
You need a bit of both. And so, I mean, the best way to put it is that when you upside the existing hotel, you will see a better improvement to downtown. I mean, I don't know how else to interpret it outside that existing occupancy rates will improve when you have a better upside to the project.
So, all right, I just want to understand. So there's not a pressing need for more space as the hotel stands in terms of numbers of rooms and occupancy rates. The bet is that an addition, you know, high tide rises all, you know, raises all boats, right? So you're assuming then, the assumption, the bet is that this addition then makes you, increases your occupancy.
Sure, I mean, definitely you have better upside when you improve the project.
But to be clear, how many rooms are in the old building?
In the existing hotel, there are just about 40. Yes.
Okay, so you're virtually looking to double the number of rooms in.
Yeah.
And right now, that's not because you consistently are renting out 38 or 40 of those on a regular basis. It's just that this addition then all of a sudden takes you from less than 40 to being able to fill 80.
Yeah, I mean, you see a different market upside whenever you improve the project. And, you know, when you do what we're considering to do to renovate the project.
Right. Yeah, I'm just, you know, part of our job here is to try to justify the criteria so that we can grant you a variance. And the very first one is that there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to this piece of property. And I interpret that as, hey, here's a guy that's needs more rooms. He has to have more because he can fill more.
That's correct. And
I'm not sure I'm seeing that at this point, but I at least appreciate your candor that you think the addition will bring more business to you.
I can definitely tell you it would. I mean, well, we've been in the business for a long time, and our experience has taught us what type of project to bring. And definitely having the right type of rooms downtown brings better upside.
But is there a plan for the old building to improve these rooms that you think become more of the right type for you? Or
the existing hotel is going to be...
completely renovated?
Be renovated.
Okay.
It's going to be completely revitalized. And so, I mean, obviously the design and review board will give us our direction of what to do from an aesthetic side, but when it comes to what we're planning to do inside, it's going to be pretty impressive, and we have a lot of experience that shows that we've done in the past with previous projects to show what we can do, and it will be impressive. What we're planning to do is, I know the financial obligation of it is irrelevant. The thing is that what we're planning to do renovation-wise, you wouldn't even recognize the hotel whenever it's finished, said, and done. Let's just say it that way.
Okay, and just to be clear, you see a driving need for the five-floor, 40 additional rooms to achieve this vision?
That's correct.
Okay.
Could I add to that? This project has been looked at several times by multiple international hotel chains. It will probably be rebranded as something other than Hotel Aiken. It'll be a national chain. Those national chains, part of their obligation to a client that's requesting them to even look at this project is they do their own feasibility study, whether it's Hilton, Marriott, Starwood, etc. In order for them to grant him a flag, whatever flag that may be, whatever brand hotel that is, they also have to, it's an investment for them as well. So these national chains have said, if you rebrand the hotel, you renovate the existing hotel, there will be future demand for these additional rooms. So it's not just on a whim on our part saying, if you build it, they will come. There's a feasibility study created and developed by international hotels, Hilton, Marriott, et cetera, that have supported that and are supporting this project.
So you want to make it more marketable to sell the structure?
Yes, it is in some sense. If you build it, they will come. If you renovate the existing structure, you will exceed your demand. Your supply will not be what your demand is. I think that answered.
Okay.
What I haven't heard you say, though, is with this addition of 40 rooms, or maybe 30, I'm inserting 30 to reduce the height, those rooms will replace rooms that you want to renovate over here in the old section so that your occupancy rate currently stays the same during the renovation process.
Depending on what flag this takes, what hotel brand this becomes, may change the room ratio. If we have 40 rooms in the existing now, that may be reduced, that may be increased, depending on what flag it is. So we don't know that answer yet.
Do you have any letter of intent from any of these flagship hotels, motels, to say, okay, if you do this, it is our intent to join forces with you at some point in time?
We've had an international franchise actually come to physically visit the property and do a property site visit. And Steve has actually met with them. His background experience has shown the success that he's done in other markets, very similar type models and markets. And he's worked with someone like Marriott, which is one of our intended interests, to see if they're shown interest, and they've shown very serious interest.
But there's nothing written, well, I hear you say, there's nothing written or no letter of intent from anyone. There's talk and there's visits.
That's correct.
Is there anything written?
It's kind of the cart before the horse, really. It's their viability is depending on your viability of making this a reality. So it's kind of the chicken or the egg, who comes first. Marriott or Hilton wants to know that this project is feasible. That's why we're here. If the project is feasible, they evaluate it and analyze it a little more thoroughly with letters of intent. Those letters of intent obviously cost the client money, et cetera, et cetera. So this is really kind of our first step before we go hard cash to any particular brand and ask them for those letters.
Well, I guess where I'm coming from, I'm having a problem with, you know, this chicken the egg thing. And from what I see here, maybe I've just got to see a little bit more on paper, conceptually, maybe a little more detail. Again, this is just my hang-up. But there's not enough detail here, even in a conceptual basis, at least for my satisfaction, that this is the right thing to do, given the type of city that we have. Not that I'm not saying that the renovation needs to be done. I've been around here a long time. And I remember going into that old hotel when I was a kid, but I just haven't seen enough yet to make a decision in my mind whether this is the right way to go with regard to the additional height needed for your addition.
So what else would you need so I can be better guided into how to provide that information?
Well, I don't want to just speak for the whole board, but I'd like to see a little more detail on the plans, the elevation, the concept, the windows lining up, where floors are, that type of thing. And again, I'm not saying a full set of detailed plans because that's what DRB is going to ask you for. But something more than, at least in my opinion, something more than this concept. But maybe the rest of my other colleagues may disagree.
I think on what I'm interested in, and I don't want to get into the DRB's responsibility to this, so that's not really my intent right now, but back to your ability or your hardship or something for us, or me at least, to try to hang on to grant a variance in this case, as to your marketability or your ability to attract a key franchise partner in this thing, is there a magic number of rooms to do that? Is there a difference between you having 80 or 70 rooms? Is that a significant number in terms of you arriving at a five-story attachment and doubling the number of rooms in that hotel?
It is, but it gets into the economics of it, so I'm not sure where we start and stop. It's to renovate the existing structure costs significant capital. To do that, you have to rent a room for a certain average daily rate.
So you're factoring in you need 40 additional rooms and its income to rationalize the capital outlay.
To even rationalize the renovation of the existing structure, correct?
Okay, but not necessarily as a magic number to be of interest to a Marriott or a Hilton or somebody like that.
In an urban location, Marriott and Hilton typically won't look at a property if it's below 80 rooms. 80 to 90 rooms is the threshold for an urban property. And that has to do with the economics of their franchise agreements with the client, et cetera. Unless you're getting $400 or $500 a key or a bed per night for some of your boutique brands, that's the only way you could economically justify doing less than 80 to 90 rooms.
So what we're hearing is this property with the expansion and only 70 rooms total would be less marketable to a national chain.
Less marketable and maybe not even fiscally feasible, whether it's a chain or not.
Okay. How long has this group owned the hotel?
My father in the audience has owned, we've owned this hotel for the last 12 years, 13 years with Pops.
Okay, what renovations have been done in that time?
We have done some renovations. I mean, when we first took over the property, is it okay if my father comes up
here? We need to have him read himself in 2 minutes.
That is fine.
Hi, my name is Ramesh Shah. I'm living at 643 Steeplechase Road, Aiken, South Carolina.
Thank you.
We bought this property 13 years ago. This property was in a real mess. And Mr. Hollis and his family used to run it. I mean, they were more or less babysitting it, because since Mr. Hollis passed, nobody was interested in any other than to get to sell it, you know. It took a long time because it was such a mess. We took over and we spent $2 million to make it rentable. I mean, we had to change all the plumbing, all the electrical. Some of these electric were like 50, 60 years old with those, instead of flip switch, they were those rounds, you know. And every day we used to have a problem with the pipes bursting, you know. Mr. Hall's family just put a tapes over it when they were, if there were keyholes or anything. So we did spend $2 million and go to drive then, you know. But the thing is, you're asking regarding this 80 rooms you put. See, when you run a franchise hotel, you have to hire a general manager, assistant manager, a maintenance man, head housekeepers, and so on. So there are certain fixed expense. And we've been running hotel business for the last 35 years. We owe 3 Marriotts right now. And the magic figure, as you guys were asking, is you have to have a minimum of 80 rooms. I remember 30 years ago, we used to build 6-room hotel. then we realize the rates we used to be good, but the expense started going up. So the magic figure now it runs 80 plus. And when you run in, and most of the time you try to get a franchise from these major franchise people, they would not mostly approve it. Until they'll tell you we need around 85 to 90 rooms.
So this is the minimal optimal size in order to justify the capital expenditure.
You got it. As the architect says, if you're in Charleston, you get $300 and $400 rate per night in downtown. Then you can live with 30 and 40 rooms. But here, our rates, Aiken, we'll get decent rate, but not nowhere around there, you know. We'll be somewhere around 100 plus, you know, that's all. So that will, I hope that answers your questions. So we did spend a lot of money in that place. And on that ground, I was chosen businessman of the Aiken County Chamber. Thank you.
And of course, question. Yes, I look at your Exhibit C. The light gray space, which includes the notation new five-story addition. What is that, outdoor patio space?
Where it says new five-story addition?
Yeah.
That is existing outdoor patio space, yes.
So you'd use that for outdoor dining or something?
Yes.
So you could use that as a place to build up two more rooms, at least two, three more rooms per floor.
Unfortunately, that's not the case because of where the guest room windows are. There's a couple of code things and there's a couple of privacy issues. You don't want to look out your guest room window directly into someone else's guest room window right across from
you.
So we're providing some separation for privacy, and there are some code issues there of how far apart those structures need to be as well.
Other questions on the board?
I have one more for Mr. Shaw. What's the alternative for you and this hotel in your mind if this variance is not granted and your ability to exceed the building height is denied?
I think we have come with the best plan. We were before when the city was ready to give us 75-foot height before, and it's some objection came from some of the citizens. We'll come up with the best height, and if we don't get it, we come to 80 rooms, then I don't think it's feasible, because the main thing would be building a new structure would be a regular cost, like what will be built. But the old hotel will cost us at least same, not tearing down the outer structure, and will cost the same or more
to run
because
that.
We have to live with a lot of stuff in it. Yeah. So the expense we were talking about is a lot more. You know? And it's not economical. You know, you have to have 80 rooms, and we don't have much room somewhere to put those. Well, if you take a floor off, that will take off another
10 rooms.
Yeah, 10 rooms. So that gave us 70 rooms, and it's not. We don't want to pile up more rooms than we need to. I mean, we can make it look a lot better, but don't have a choice. 8 is the minimum we have to build.
Downstairs on the first level, could you not have rooms down there?
I don't think you won't look right, tell you the truth, because we want to make the main floor. It will open up with the existing old hotel.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to rent it out for retail space.
Well, that could be part of the retail or part of the hotel, too. One of the commercial parts.
Retail or meeting space.
Yeah, or meeting space. So we'd be able to enter through and all that.
Well, I don't see the difference if you could put retail down there while you couldn't put hotel rooms down there.
There's a difference. Picture yourself in a guest room. Do you want to have your guest room window directly up on the sidewalk where people can knock, scream, holler?
And that's a lot of walk at night, too.
Mr. Chairman, can I comment on that? Is that the comprehensive plan calls for retail and commercial on the ground floors in the downtown business district and upper floor residential.
So anybody now that builds something brand new has to have retail down? And
that's what the comprehensive plan asks for. It doesn't have to be, but that's what it was in there.
Because the carriage house does not have that down. They just have rooms down.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
And the Wilcox, don't they have ground floor rooms?
No.
I don't know.
They used to on that end.
Yeah, they do, because I've stayed in one of them.
Okay.
But the carriage house, the brand new structure, all that down below is not rooms? I thought it was.
It is.
It's rooms.
It is.
Even though it called for something different.
But that's not on the main street. Those are back off of Lawrence Street.
They're on Pendleton.
Pendleton Street. Yeah.
Any further questions for the Shaws?
I would just like to reiterate, all we're trying to achieve is a 2.5-foot variance. That's really our only request and our only purview here today.
Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the variance request?
My name is Margaret Marion. I'm a city resident with two addresses, which were on the letter that I sent to you.
Just a little louder, please.
All right, I'll try. My name is Margaret Marion. I'm a resident of the city of Aiken, 412 Windsor Place and 118 Aberdeen Drive. I sent a letter to the board that was attached to your agenda with the three simple points: that the building height was in place when the current owners bought the property, that it would be possible to design a compatible addition, and that the zoning ordinance says that profitability issues should not be considered. I was part of the staff of when the Wilcox Inn was initially revitalized, rehabilitated. It had been vacant for many years. It was in much worse shape than this hotel. And what is there now appears to be a vital enterprise, and they did not need a height variance in order to be a viable business. So, but that structure, it was missing one of the columns. The bottom floor was boarded up. There were holes in the floor. I know because I was in there measuring the building for the rehabilitation plans. So, are there any questions for me about my points?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Others to speak to the variance request?
America Haas. I live at 222 Florence Street Southwest. I've been a resident of Aiken since 1972. And over again, we face challenges to the preservation of our historic community, such as Mr. Shaw's motel addition to a historic building that will significantly change how downtown looks. Old Aiken design guidelines call for new additions to be compatible with the massing, size, and scale and architectural features to protect the historic integrity of our lovely town. This speaks to the need to protect the nature of our downtown, not to allow its destruction with suburban design. I also object to zoning changes being requested on a piecemeal basis for one developer's inappropriate plans with limited public input and discussion. Aiken implemented a lengthy process to enact the downtown design guidelines and the downtown master plan, both of which involve the community, residents, and the city. Given all the careful, inclusive planning that has sought to protect Aiken's historic downtown, why has the decision to increase the height limit come to a vote due to the request of one developer rather than as part of a comprehensive community discussion and effort? Thank you.
Any questions for Ms.? Thank you. Others to speak to the variance request?
I'm Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I think we all agree that the hotel desperately needs renovation, and I even support the expansion of the hotel if it's done to conform to current zoning regulations. Or I need to be convinced, just like you do, that the city's criteria for a variance are met by Mr. Shaw's application. There have been some very good points raised by you all and some of the other speakers, and I appreciate all of that. But I do have a couple of questions that maybe I was too dense to realize if they've already been answered. But I would like to know, although the variance is only asking for 2.5 feet or thereabouts, what is the potential actual height? He's saying that the black section looks like 2.5 feet. But when I see hotels, they have equipment on the top which can be 8 or 10 feet. So is there a potential for 8 or 10 foot screen necessary for the equipment on top of the hotel? And if so, shouldn't we at least know about that? If 2 feet is not going to hide the equipment, what is the limit?
We need her to address the questions to us, and then we'll give her some rebuttal time.
Okay. And then I guess another question I have is, how many rooms are in the motel section? Are those counted in the number of rooms that we need to add on to? I don't think it's in this application, and I apologize if I'm misspeaking, but I either read or was told that Mr. Shaw said that if the city didn't buy the motel for a parking garage, that it was going to be left as a motel. So if that's the case, there's, you know, additional rooms if those aren't counted in that number. So I think I at least would like that clarified. And I guess one other consideration, and this will possibly get to the design review board, though, is it looks with this diagram that they're pretty much filling up the whole space next to B Lane. And I did go one morning to try to visualize where all of this was going, and what I noticed were the very large delivery trucks going down B Lane to deliver not just to the hotel, but to the other businesses on that B Lane. If the hotel is going to be even bigger, obviously they're going to need more delivery trucks, and I'm worried that they're going to, you know, possibly block that street, but I'm sure that's something that will be considered by the appropriate parties. And I think in a situation like this, we rely on your experience and wisdom, because most of y'all have been sitting here for a number of years, and I appreciate the fact that you know what you're doing, and I feel like you won't, that you will deny the application if it's not clear and convincing to you. So I trust your judgment on this. But I think that Aiken is at a pretty dangerous intersection again between any growth is good and making sure we have growth done thoughtfully and in keeping with what we need downtown. I think the character that makes Aiken unique and attractive depends on our willingness to set limits and to stick to them. So I ask you to consider that when you're getting these answers. Can we stick to our limits if we feel like that's what we need to do?
Questions to Ms. Stocker?
Mrs. Stocker brings up a good point. I don't know who can answer it. What is the legal status of B Lane? Is it a city street? Is it like the alley?
Yes.
The city owns the property?
Yes. That's my understanding of it.
They can't interfere with access or egress using B Lane.
Correct. Yeah. B Lane would be there.
Thank you. Others to speak to the variance request?
Charlotte Wiedemann, 626 Hayne Avenue. I sent the letter last night. You may have gotten it this morning. And if you have questions, please, I'd answer them. But again, I will mirror some of the comments from council for the architect. I looked at the elevations, and I will be honest here. I did do 3 years of architectural drafting in school. So when I look at a front and side elevation and the floors are stacked a certain way and the top floor is only supposed to, or the black parapet is only supposed to be 2.5 feet, but it's drawn to the same scale as the floors, I really have a lot of question in that. And when I look at a picture of a building head on and I'm told it's perspective, my perspective is that not that far off on something like this. So when I see windows all which way, it doesn't really give me a convincing feel about how this is going to end up looking. So even though you can say it's only 2.5 feet, if I can't trust the elevation or the pictures, I can't trust that it's just going to be 2.5 feet for the parapet, especially with concerns that, oh, well, we'll put up a 10-foot parapet because it still falls under the parapet guideline. But, you know, is there going to be a bar on top of that? So just in all of it, I would ask that you would really take a good look at it and say, you know, does this fall under the guidelines and can it not be done reasonably within the current guidelines? It's been a three-story hotel for more than 100 years, and three stories, it lines up perfectly. You could get the windows to line up. So in doing something where you're trying to make things fit on, is it going to create a bigger problem for design review board? And just looking at the state of the hotel now, maintenance on the exterior has not been done. So what do we get? A 65-foot tall building where maintenance won't be done? So it's just too much. Any questions?
Any questions for Ms. Wiedemann? Thank you. Others to speak to the variance request? Final call. Others to speak to the variance request? Mr. Shaw, you can have 2 minutes rebuttal.
Trying to go quickly, bullet point by bullet point. We have not mentioned, nor do we have any intention of destroying, demolishing, or altering the exterior of the existing historical building. Our intention is to preserve it and restore it, not modify it and deter it from its existing state. Mass and scale comments to the building, I believe that is more purview to the DRB. We hope to get to that point after this evening's meeting. Potential parapet height, it's speculation until the design is done. Right now, it's going to be between probably 2.5 feet to what a typical parapet height is between 6 and 7 feet. When you're pedestrian on the sidewalk looking up at a building, you're not going to see that mechanical unit sitting back away from the curb. So if we have a 12-foot tall mechanical unit on the roof, we're not going to need a 12-foot tall parapet. We're going to need a 4- or 5-foot tall parapet to block your perspective view of that roof. There's an existing motel to the left of B Lane that the city and owner are in talks of whether that motel stays or not. That has more guest rooms in it than our proposed new additions on traffic on B Lane, and with respect to deliveries and blocking that, should be a net-for-net wash. Some rooms are removed, more rooms are added, should be a net-for-net wash. So we don't anticipate any additional deliveries or traffic jams. As mechanical codes are changing, the building heights have to change. Energy codes are changing, mechanical codes are changing, requiring different size ductwork, which increases the height of buildings, floor-to-floor heights. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. Some codes are changing. I think zoning is starting to catch up to, we have to provide more fresh air makeup to guest rooms. Code required. In order for me to get that ductwork in there, I have to have a building of a certain height. That's a direct result of code, not just my client's wish and purview. The black parapet, everything that is in that elevation shown as black is not parapet. You will notice the two guest room windows there indicating a floor level. So black, again, is not representing a parapet. The black is representing a story plus parapet. There are no plans for a rooftop bar. The roof will not be occupied space. The roof will house only mechanical units. That's it. No people, persons, or things other than mechanical units. Maintenance of the existing building is another reason we're here. We're trying to promote the preservation of the existing structure, the improvement of it, and marry that with a new design that is in harmony with the existing structure. So speaking to the state of the existing building should not reflect anything on a request for height variance.
Any questions from the board? But
back to, and I'm sorry if I missed this, making you repeat it, but the number of rooms in the, what I call the motel section, those are not your room, that's not your facility? The motel is your facility. And those,
yes.
How many rooms are in that, and is that counted toward this magic number of 80?
No.
Repeat the question. The building that's indicated in gray is the existing hotel with approximately 40 rooms.
Correct.
To the left of B Lane is an existing motel. The client is in discussions with the city on what to do with that structure pending a future parking deck.
Okay.
Those rooms will be taken off market when the parking deck comes. Those rooms will be added to this new addition, so it's a net for net wash.
But y'all don't own the motel. You do own
it. We do own it.
Now,
the thing is, we go with a major franchise, that building would not be accepted by them. Simple as that.
Okay.
It's nice for citizens to talk about our hotel that we are not maintaining. We can talk about, you know, the reason problems are coming. Time has changed. Most of the visitors or corporate clientele do not go to independent hotels anymore. They look for the national franchise. You might be doing the same thing because you know exactly what you're going to get. I mean, putting, for example, the Partridge Inn, it's been there longer than us, I think, in Augusta. And Partridge Inn has gone twice in the receivership, and the people who are bought it now, they are converting to Hilton, part of the Hilton. But that tells you that it does not work without the franchise anymore. And to have a franchise, you have to have a certain amount of room, simple as that.
I don't think there's any question that everyone in this city, or virtually everyone, would welcome the rejuvenation of the Hotel Aiken, or Aiken Hotel. It's a historic structure. It's a key part of our downtown look.
Sure.
And it's a shame that it's it's in such poor shape and that it's not in great demand for use. I appreciate the fact that you've got an economic decision whenever you're spending money. It has to be justified. The question is, can you come close to your 80 rooms or your projection as far as income by not exceeding 50 feet? And I have to ask the architect, you know, do you think you can go back to the drawing board and come up with a different room configuration for each floor? Repositioning of elevators or stairway space. Some use of the outdoor patio space as far as ground level. I think you can squeeze more rooms out in four floors than just 30. That's a challenge to you. I don't think you want to answer it right now.
It's a simple answer. I have existing setbacks that I have to work. I've maximized the footprint of the building, so I can't add any additional rooms to the floor. It's with existing setbacks and existing structures.
Yeah, you know, we came in initially requesting 65 feet when it went through the city council. And we asked our architect, we listened to the citizens, we listened to the executive leaders, we listened to everybody. We're doing our best to work with the city. We weren't successful without the city. We've been here a long time. The community has worked with us. We listened to them when they had the initial opposition. We thought we were going in with a lot of support. We were wrong. When we went back to the drawing board, we asked our architect to come back with something. And we're doing our best. We're doing what we can. And as Steve just mentioned, we're working with what we've got, and we'd like to make this work. Thank you.
Let me comment on the setbacks for just a second. Back to the question of setbacks. So you've stayed within the required setbacks, required or so put in place by the city. Is that right?
Not just setbacks, but property lines. We've maximized the feasibility of our site footprint.
Okay, including the setbacks and so forth.
Correct.
Mr. Kyle?
There are no setbacks.
No setbacks.
Not in downtown.
Not in downtown.
Okay.
We're essentially property line to property line right now.
Okay.
Thank you. The chair will now entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to deny this application. As I stated before, I certainly want to encourage the effort to redo this hotel and even expand it. But the entire application is based on justification for capital expenditure. It's strictly an economic proposal, and we're restricted by legal precedent from justifying an approval based on economic advantage or for the applicant.
Second.
been properly moved and seconded that we deny the proposed variance request. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just mathematically can't understand how you can have three stories in one building and you can match another building with five stories. Mathematically, it just I can't see it. So that's one of my problems.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep to the criteria that we have at hand. It was easy to meander into the what I consider the design review board aspects of this. And, you know, obviously we're only human. We would want to make sure any expansion looked good and fit the character and things of that nature. But we have six criteria here. And to committee member Paternetti's comments, I think the Shaw should be commended on the investment they've made in this community. There's not too many folks that have put that kind of money in any project. I unfortunately for me, it's just I can't get over the extraordinary exceptional conditions pertaining to the property, which is condition one, and the authorization of the variance will not be a substantial detriment to the adjacent property or public good, and character of the district will not be harmed by the granting of the variance. Because if we make a play to Pat, the committee member Paternetti's point, to help the Shaws on an economic venture that does not work, we've created a variance in our zoning ordinances and a parapet that could be 65 feet tall, a monument to an empty building because they did not get a franchise or they did not, their numbers didn't work. And I just don't think we can do that.
Any other discussion?
I just kind of reiterate what they said, but I also want to let the Shaws know that I do not stay in chain places. I look for boutiques. I look for unusual historic places. Of course, I might not be representative of most of your customers, but I think with good marketing and being old historic, that this could just be a fantastic place that people swarm to.
Mr. Chairman, I too feel that this board overall certainly wants to encourage renovation where possible instead of tearing down historic buildings. I think this board supports the general rule of renovation over demolition and rebuilding where circumstances permit in order to keep old vacant char. I had, too, a problem with one of the criteria regarding the condition of the variance. Granting the variance would not substantially conflict with comprehensive plan and the purposes of the zoning ordinance. With that, Mr. Chairman, I personally can't support this variance.
Any other discussion?
I, too, feel my hands are tied with a profitability issue. I can't support it on that ground.
Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried to deny the application unanimously.
Thank you. got the variance to go. 70 feet, and then there's the public option. We did it.
I call your attention to application 16-93003, a request, various requests to allow a lawn jockey statue to remain on top of the gatepost at 928 Two Notch Road. To the city, has it been properly posted?
Yes, we have.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
I have received numerous inquiries or comments, and I have forwarded all of those to you by email, and you have hard copies of those, and I've also furnished them to the applicant.
All right, presentation, please.
This is an application for variance on behalf of Sierra Blue Incorporated to allow the lawn jockey statues at 928 Two Notch Road to remain at their current positions on the gatepost. The maximum allowed fence height in a residential district is 4 feet between the front plane of the building or the main building and the street. The area that this residence is primary residential with equestrian uses. It's all residential around it except for where it backs up to the stable, Darby Stable. This had a previous variance request for increased fence height and increased gate. That gate was approved for 7 feet, 7 inches for a pedestrian gate, and an entrance gate that's 8 feet tall. After the variance was obtained, the applicant put what he said was a light fixture, which the city says is a statue, on top of the gatepost, thereby increasing the height of the gatepost larger than what was approved by the board in a different look than what was given to the board to review. The applicant disagreed with that, filed an application for y'all to review that administrative interpretation, and in the process of that, now we're at the variance request asking for the increased fence height.
Question to the city.
One, just to get this clear, as far as the chronology, this property is RSS, residential single family stable.
Yes.
And it's not in the historic district, so by right, this property is only in, entitled to a 4 foot fence or in the front. Is that correct?
Yes.
Everything from the front plane of the house to the road.
Correct.
And it's only because of the prior variance with specific limitations or heights as far as what we approved. That's why we're here.
Yes.
That's why we're we presently have heights above 4 feet.
We have heights above what was previously approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions to the city?
Could you refresh my memory if this were in the historic district?
If this was in a historic district,
would we be having this meeting?
No. Well, maybe. If this was in a historic district, the Design Review Board can approve fences and walls up to 12 feet in height.
The Design and Review Board can.
The Design and Review Board has that authority. But since this is not in a historic district, we don't have that avenue to go down.
But a light could be placed on top of the columns and not be added in the overall height of the columns. Is that correct?
If it's just a light fixture. In this case, it's the city's position that it is a statue, not just a light fixture. And I say that because I think the applicant would disagree with me on that.
And we're hearing this because it's been more than a year.
No, ma'am. You're hearing this for the first time for a variance for light fixture, for the statue on top of the on top of the post. You previously heard an administrative appeal.
Okay.
You have not heard a variance for the statues to this point.
Right. Thank you.
Just one comment. It was my position at the previous meeting that we had approved a variance with very specific measurements. That's two gateposts, 7 feet, 7 inches tall, and an entrance gate, which is 8 foot tall. And we are very specific about that in regard to the concept plan. So anything exceeding that, I think the applicant is now quite correct in asking for a variance to exceed those specific limitations.
Yes, sir.
Does the board have further questions to the city? Thanks, Tommy. Attorney McDaniel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathleen McDaniel with law firm Callison Tyne Robinson at 1812 Lincoln Street, Columbia, South Carolina. I apologize, my voice is a little bit scratchy. I might be getting a cold, so I will do my best to speak as clearly as possible. Mr. Patanetti, you're correct. What we are asking for today is a variance to be able to place these light fixtures, which we'll just call them the jockeys for lack of an agreement on whether they're lights or not, to put these on top of the columns. And the purpose for the variance, the reason the variance is needed, is for the safety of the property. If you look at the configuration of the property, you can see that the historic house, which is the large house in the middle of the upper half of the property, it's offset from the entranceway. In addition, the entranceway, there is now a gate. In fact, it's actually a double gate to be able to keep the dogs in and to protect the public from the dogs and protect the safety of the dogs. And that was the purpose of the previous variance for the gate and fence height. So what this has created is a situation where for individuals who would be coming up to the property in the evening, at night, it's very dark there. It's very difficult to maneuver through the gate. It's also very difficult for anyone inside the house to be able to see what's happening at the gate, to know whether to let the person who is there to have them come in. The configuration of the house to the entranceway at the gate, the existence of the gate there, all of those are unique to this parcel. The other surrounding properties they don't have gates. They don't have the same type of fencing. The houses are closer to the road, and the driveways are more directly centered in front of the entranceway. So, you know, this property has a unique configuration. There is a safety issue that needs to be addressed to provide lighting at the property. And in addition, it certainly is in keeping with the nature of the surrounding area. It would have no detrimental effect on the surrounding area. And in fact, what you had in your packets are only letters in support. I'm sure Mr. Paradise would have sent me any letters that were not in support, and we didn't receive any of those. The neighborhood believes that the jockeys atop the columns are attractive. The neighbors directly to the north, to the south, and to the west have all written letters in support of this variance being granted. So we would ask that you all consider the unique configuration of this property, the unique needs of this property, and grant the variance in the interest of safety of those coming to the property and the residents of the property. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Well, if there aren't any questions, I'll ask Ms. Cece Sullivan, who has even more direct knowledge of the property than I, to give you a little bit of it. Oh, I'm sorry. We did have a question.
So you contain you say that the statues are lighting fixtures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have those lighting fixtures, do they have a UL file number for wet environment applications?
Well, I don't know what the UL lighting number is. I do know that they are appropriate for outdoor use, and they're on an automatic timer. The nature of the lighting itself, you know, that was something that we discussed at great length a year ago, and I was looking back at my notes. It was actually August 26th last year when we were here talking about whether they're lights or a statue. And I believe that was the type of question that came up at that time, you know, the nature of the lights, the characteristics of the lights. Honestly, I don't remember what the rating is. We can certainly find that out if you need to know that.
I just couldn't find anywhere where the lawn jockeys are UL approved as a lighting fixture. The fixtures out in the hand perhaps are, but if you're considering the whole statue as a light, then I think maybe they should have a UL rating.
Okay. Well, and that...
And I was wondering if they do.
I'm sure there is some rating. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But there again, I think that goes more towards the question of whether it's appropriately categorized as a light or as a statue. And it is being used as a light currently. If there is a safety issue with it, if that's your concern, then that would be something for the homeowner to address.
Okay.
Anything else? Do I have Ms. Sullivan? All right, thank you. Cece Sullivan.
Hi, everyone. Was here last month. Cece Sullivan. I live at 1205 Two Notch Road, Southeast. And I not only am a nearby neighbor of the property, I also serve as the property manager for Cielo Blue at 1902 Notch Road. And not getting into are these statues or are these light fixtures, but the actual lantern held by the jockey is a Coleman light. So it is meant for outdoor use. I don't know what the UL code is, but I know it is Coleman because I was involved with the property when actually those lanterns were upgraded, so to speak. One thing I think is really important to note about the lighting and the way it works at that property is it comes on as it gets dark outside. So the lighting is, there's a direct correlation between the exterior lighting and the need for it based on darkness. So, you know, it's going to be darker in December and the lights will come on earlier. I've been involved with this property now since Cielo Blue purchased it. As I think we've discussed the last time we were here, that the property has been expanded. It was originally just a 2-acre property, and now it's a 4.5-acre property because Cielo Blue purchased, there's a 5-acre field in the middle between the property on the south and then Cielo Blue's property. Those two property owners purchased that 5-acre field to protect open space in our city and thus expanded the road frontage on Two Notch Road for each property. And with that, even the need for lighting that is noticeable at the entrance is even greater because there's a bigger expanse as you drive up to the property to say, hello, here I am at 928 Two Notch Road. The lanterns, I believe, offer a really subtle, appropriate, attractive light when they are illuminated. It's in keeping with the being an entrance to a property and an entrance to our horse district. And I hope that you all will allow for this variance for these lights. I think they're in scale and in character.
Any questions?
Yeah, Ms. Sullivan, you would admit that the lawn jockey with the lantern is not the only way you can provide safety and lighting at the gate entrance?
Well, I would say that I do think there needs to be some height to a light fixture on top of the columns to give, so it's enough above the column to illuminate the area. If you just have, for lack of a better word, a shorter fixture or stubbier fixture, it's not going to cast a light around onto the drive aspect. It would just illuminate the top of the column itself, which would not be effective for safety. So I do think that the height and the holding the lantern out illuminates the entry point to the drive in a way that's safer than a typical lantern that you would see. I don't think that would be as effective as a light with height, personally. And I go in and out of that property quite a bit at various times of the day, and I'm always grateful for both the height, because it gives a nice round light around the column, and then the lighting between the pair of gates. It's for me, it's a safety issue when I enter the property by myself at night, and I feel secure.
I like to cut through to the chase. What's the difference if the jockey with the lantern was sitting on the ground, it's a lawn jockey instead of being on the column?
Well, okay, so if I were sitting on the ground right now, you wouldn't see me. And if I'm standing up, you can see me. So that's the difference, the radius of the light. You know, it would not be as effective on the ground as it is down and low. If it was only illuminating low, you wouldn't see someone. I would have to test it, but I don't think you would see someone that was over the ground height. You would only be able to see, it would only illuminate at a low point, not from the ground up. And with the light fixture being higher, you would be able to see my whole physical being at the entrance gate. And if it were in front of the columns and on the ground, you maybe wouldn't be able to see me at all. That's the difference.
Questions from the board?
I have a question for the city, is that possible?
Yes.
Tommy, would we even be talking about this if they just put a regular light out there on top of the 7 foot, a regular conventional light on a pole that was constructed, made to be an approved light source? Would we be talking about this?
One thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is for the purpose of this variance, it doesn't matter if what you call it, if it's a light fixture or it's not light fixture. This is, from the city standpoint, the statue or the jockey. If it was what the city considered to be a light fixture, we would not be having this conversation.
Thank you.
But it's not what the city would call a light fixture. But at the same point in time, the variance request, you know, you put all that behind you and you look at the facts before you on this one, for the variance request as a lawn jockey or the jockey on top of the statue, on top of the gatepost. Did I muddy the water there?
No, you answered my question, that if it were a conventional light, we would not be here talking about this.
Correct.
Could I, on my post that I have, put a pole coming up, just a plain old pole, and then a light fixture up there? If I wanted a higher light so it would illuminate out, could I put a pole?
Yes.
So I could put a pole, I just can't put a lawn jockey.
Correct.
The total height over and above the variance that this board approved some time back of 7 feet 7 inches. Is that right?
Yes.
We allowed a height of 7 feet 7 inches. Maybe I missed it somewhere. What is the total height now? We're going 7'7" to what?
And I don't remember. Maybe about 3 feet.
The jockey itself is about, I would say about 30 inches.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
I think it's that.
Got to be at least 3 feet.
I think it's about 30 inches.
At least
inches.
3 feet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think the large jockey is 3 feet.
Okay.
And while I'm up here, I do want to make clear that in looking through the staff memo to you all, there were three conditions if you all did decide to approve this variance. And Cielo Blue certainly would agree to each of those three conditions. I believe those were to have this limited solely to the current owner, so that the right to have the jockeys atop the columns would not transfer to any future owner, that the final order would be recorded with the Aiken RMC office, and that it would be solely just to keep the jockeys themselves in place on the columns as they are, not some other item to be placed on top of the columns. And that, you know, to the question about is it a light, is it a statue, like I said, it was a year ago, almost to the day, that we were here talking about that very issue. This is a very different issue, wherein we're, you know, trying to resolve this issue with the city to find a solution that you know, gives the city what it needs and also gives my client what they need. So, with that, we do have one more person who would like to speak, and that's Michael Sullivan.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Sullivan. I live at 1205 Two Notch Road, up the street from Mr. Savita. And full disclosure, I consider him a friend, but I have had nothing to do with either design or any of the work on this property in the slightest. Kathleen brought up something very interesting, and it goes to what Mr. Perry, the heart of the issue. Mr. Breck, you hit the nail on the head. The question you asked, which was the key question, was if we had what we considered to be a normal light, would we be having this conversation? And Ms. Duke, you had the same question.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up the height of one right now.
Yeah, right. And Mr. Paradise, to his credit, said no, we wouldn't be having that discussion. And what that draws into stark contrast is are you going to be guided by an interpretation? You may recall, and I happened to be in town that week, and I remember when you had a professor from, I think, was the University of Kentucky, who came in and was not a self-styled, but an acclaimed lighting expert, who said to you in no uncertain terms that this was a light fixture. Mr. Paradise, to his credit, disagreed. There was no one here that could present evidence at the time, and I certainly couldn't, I'm not a lighting expert, to the contrary. So I think it's the reason, not to backtrack too much, but Mr. Breck, you hit upon it. The crux of it is still, if we didn't dispute that this were a light, would we be having this discussion? The answer is no. And you had previous testimony by an expert who said this is indeed a lighting fixture. And you have letters which say, gee, we like the lanterns. So, look, as I say, I don't have a dog in the fight. I live up the street, you know, that's perfectly fine what you decide. But the notion that you want to bring in your own interpretation as to what constitutes a light fixture in contradistinction to what a lighting expert from University of, again, Kentucky came down and told and indicated to you all seems to me to be cause to maybe reconsider what one's interpretation of a light fixture is. And I can tell you, and you have this anecdotally because people say, oh, gee, we like the lanterns. You have this in the letters. I can't say who this is, but just today we had a noted landscape designer in town who's doing some work at the property next door. I said, I'm just out of curiosity. Go down the street and check out Mr. Sabita's property as you go. I'm just curious what you think. And she said, I'll text you. Whoops, I gave away. It was a sheet. So we've already limited it. But I'll show you this text, and I'll show you who it's from. And she texted me back. And you know what she said? She said, the lanterns are fabulous. She didn't say lawn jockey. She didn't say columns. She didn't say the brickwork. She didn't say the landscaping, the plants. She said, the lanterns are fabulous. Now, often we know things in their absence. And in this case, if I'm driving by that property and someone had removed those lanterns, I wouldn't say someone defaced the columns, someone had defaced the front of the property. I'd say, well, God, the lanterns are gone. We often know things in their absence. And if those were not there, my reaction and her reaction and a lot of the friends' reaction in that neighborhood would be, oh, gosh, the lanterns are gone. And that should tell you an alternative viewpoint as to what they indeed are. I view them completely as lanterns. And I don't think, with all due respect to this group, I don't think it's anyone's within anyone's purview here to determine whether or not they like them as lighting fixtures. They are lighting fixtures, and you heard previous testimony to that effect. Now, I like them, but I'm not an expert. So thank you.
Michael, all due respect, we've been there. We've regressed back to the appeal of the administrative decision, and we're not there anymore. The question is, the applicant has quite properly filed an application for a variance to exceed the approved column height of 7 feet 7 inches.
Yes.
We're past the decision which the board rejected, including the expert from Kentucky, that this was a lighting fixture. We're not there anymore.
Okay, fair enough. Last question, though. The basis of Mr. Breck's question was, if this were a lighting fixture, a normal one, would we be having this conversation? And the answer is no. It would be a fait accompli. It would be approved. Right? So it does call into question the interpretation. That's my only point.
It was my interpretation when I made the application. I think I made the motion to uphold the administrative decision, that the reason for doing it was the fact that the applicant had gone beyond the very specific approval by this board of a column height of 7 feet 7 inches, period, according to a concept plan submitted by the applicant. And that was why we were there.
And so now we are strictly...
That's why we're here now.
Terrific. We're to strictly a height issue, just so I'm clear.
The height of 7 feet 7 inches.
Not whether or not it's a light.
Not as a light.
We're all on the same page. Terrific. Anyway, I apologize for taking too much time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that ends the presentation for the applicant. If there are any other questions that you have, I'd be happy to answer those at this time. Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve variance 16-93003 to allow Cielo Blue Inc. to keep the lawn jockey statues in place on their gate post on the property at 928 Kunach Road, as shown on Exhibit O. Variance approval is exclusively for Cielo Blue, Inc. and is void upon ownership transfer of the property and the final order be recorded at the Aiken County RMC office.
I second.
It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
I think that this board sometimes needs to look at exceptions. And
I'm not going to get into whether this is a light or not, but this person could put a 3-foot pole up and put a light on top of it. And I feel like this is a, you know, if what they're really trying to do is get illumination out larger, if they would take this down and put up a 3-foot pole, I think that would be a aesthetically pleasing thing. And I can go along with all of these conditions that are here. So I would vote in favor of it.
Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, should I raise the right hand? Those opposed? The motion is carried 4-3. That is the last item of new business. The chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
That does not require to stand adjourned.
The long, hard fight. Finally, the long, hard fight.
Yeah.
Thank you.